Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 9 lines from the top of Daf Yud. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance in the margin. We have a Nosei/Mivneh. Nosei, topic heading, Mivneh, structural note. When you were looking at the Gemara text, you probably noticed some bow tie shapes. And on the side, we've explained and we read as follows. She'elois, questions, be'inyin kinyin isha al yedei bia. Questions that regard the kinyin isha, the establishment of the marital bond, the acquisition of a wife, through the act of intimacy. Intimacy, of course, is one of the three methods that the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta mentioned are a means of establishing the marital bond. Number one, Tchilas Biyokina Ol Soif Biyokina. Here the Gemara is getting into a precise level of detail regarding the actual act of intimacy. Tchilas Biya would be a reference to the man's initial act of contact, of sexual contact, the beginning of the act of intimacy. Oi, soif biyokina, or do we say that the end of that act, meaning when the male insertion is complete, at that point the marriage is established. So once again, do we say tchilas biyokina, the beginning of the act of intimacy, or the end of the act, when the male has completed his insertion? Number two, bia, nisuan oisa oi erusin oisa. The act of intimacy as a means of establishing the marital bond, does it establish erusin? Erusin is the first stage of marriage. We've often spoken about erusin and then the consummation of the marriage, nisuin. Does the act of intimacy as one of the means of acquisition, of establishing the bond, does it do what kesef and shtar do, namely establish the first stage? Or there might be something unique with regard to bia in that it actually creates the initial stage of the marital bond and is its completion as well, its consummation as well. And if that be the case, so then if bia would to accomplish the nisuin, so you'll see in the course of the Gemara a number of halachas, a number of results, of ramifications that exist as a result of that, which wouldn't be if it was just erusin, if only the first stage of the marriage were accomplished. Now the Gemara. We open with a question. You'll notice we have it as a long question. Ibai Eloho, Tchilas Bia Kine, which we described earlier as the initial stage of intimacy. Does that establish the erusin? Oi Soif Bia Kine, or is it only once the act is completed? Nafka Mina, Kigon Sheraba, Uposhta Yoda Vikibu Kivishin Meacher. A practical difference in this analysis is if the man marrying her, he'araba is a reference to what we saw. We said tchilas bia. He did an initial contact or initial insertion, not completing it. And at that moment, before he completed his act of insertion, she extended her hand and accepted money from someone else, from another man. If you say that Tchilas Bias Kaina, so the second man's efforts are worthless. If you say that only Soif Bia is Kaina, well, she accepted money from a second man before the first man acquired her, because he was only He'era, He'era meaning the initial, let's see, either superficial contact or partial insertion. That's a discussion elsewhere in the Shas. So that's one practical ramification in the analysis of whether it's Tchila or Sof. Inami, another practical application of this analysis is L'Kayin Gadol. The Kokoni Besula Babia Mai. A Kohen Gadol is instructed by the Torah. The high priest has is very restricted in whom he can marry. The Torah insists on his marrying a Besula, a virgin. If you say that Tchilas Bia is Kaina, so then the Kohen Gadol would be entitled to marry a woman through intimacy, and not insist that he does it through Kesef or Shtar. If, however, you say that only Soif Bia is Kaina, the acquisition, the marital bond, is established only at the completion of the insertion, well, prior to the completion, she is no longer a virgin. She's no longer a Besula. So she would be a non-Besula before he actually would acquire her, and that would be forbidden. My. So the Gemara asks, okay, now that we've presented the two sides of the analysis, and with we gave you also two practical ramifications, what is the final ruling? Omar Amemar Mishmei de Rava. So in the name of Rava, Amemar says, Kol HaBoyel Daito Al Gemar Bia. When a man engages in intimacy for the purpose of marriage, his intention is for the completion. In other words, Soif Bia Kaina. And then you would take that information and apply it to what we said before, the two different ramifications, and you will come to the appropriate results. Another question. Ibaya Laho. This also takes a few lines to develop. We can see the long question marking. Bia, one who marries through intimacy. Nisuin Oisa o Erisin Oisa. Does it represent a completion of the marriage, a consummation of the marriage, or is it only something that establishes the first stage of the marriage, the first of two stages that we call Erusin and Nisuin? Nafkamina, the practical outcome of this analysis is Liyorsha, Litamalo, Ofer Nidorel. Three points that are relevant to whether she is a Nisua or not. Liyorsha has to do with, upon her death, does the husband inherit her? So the halacha says that only if she reached Nisuin would she be inherited by her husband. So if you say that Bia is Erusin Oisa, for example, and after the Bia she would die, then that the husband would not be entitled to marry her because he didn't consummate the marriage. He didn't reach Nisuin. L'tamalof, he was a Kohen. A Kohen is entitled by the Torah to defile himself to one of seven relatives. Included in the seven close relatives is one's wife. So we'll say that he's entitled to defile himself, to violate the rules of Tumas Meis, which apply to a Kohen, only if she had reached Nisuin. If she was only an Arusa, he would not defile himself to her. L'hofer Nidora, that is the realm of absolution of vows. A husband is able to absolve his wife of vows, but only if they consummated the marriage, only if they reached Nisuin. If they reached Nisuin, then a husband on his own is able to absolve her of vows. If she's an Arusa, so then the husband does not act independently as as one who could annul her vows on his own. If she's an arusa, as we know, a na'ara hamarusa, the halacha says avia ubailo mafirna dara. But a nesua, the husband could mafir, can absolve on his own. The Gemara continues, and it spells out what might at this point be obvious. E amris nisuin oisa. If you say that the bia act, the act of intimacy in establishing the marital bond, accomplishes nisuin, then yorsha umetamela umefir nedarea. Then he will inherit her if she dies at that point, or if he's a kohen, he'll defile himself to her, and he's able to absolve her of her vows. The amris erizin oisa. Eino yorsha, v'eino metamelo, v'eino mefir nedoreha. My. So what is the ruling? On the in the Gemara, you can see we have a new marking. The house shape is about to appear. On the side of the Gemara, we indicate that this house shape, you'll see, appears in two different directions as you go through the sugya. So on this omid, Yud Omid Aleph, you see the house marking point facing up. These are nisyonis laharois derak eris noisa. These are attempts to show that the bia creates only erisin. The Gemara will reject each one of these. And when we get to Amid Beis, you'll notice an inverted house marking, which we also label as number 3, a third stage of analysis where the Gemara will try to show that it actually creates nisuin. And that attempt will come under objection later in the Gemara. So now we continue. Omar Abaye. Toshma. Well, let's hear from the following source. Ho'av Zakai Bebito Bikidushel. A father is entitled to give his minor daughter over in marriage. Bekesef Bishtar Ubebiya. The father will accept money on her in exchange for her marriage. The father will prepare a document. Or I should say, he'll receive the document from the husband, which establishes her marriage. Or Bibia, he'll give her his daughter over for intimacy for her marriage. V'zakai b'mitsiyoso v'maisiyodel, he's entitled to receive from his daughter lost items that she finds. Maisiyodel, income that she produces. Haforas l'ro, the father can absolve her vows. If the husband divorced her from the stage that of erusin, the father receives the divorce for his minor daughter. If she, this girl, the daughter, inherited property from her mother's side, from her maternal grandfather, the produce of that field is something she keeps. It's not something that her father is entitled to. Nises, once she reaches nisuin, then yesro v'baal, the baal, the husband, has an additional strength that the father never had. She'ochel peros b'chayeha, that the husband is entitled to eat the fruits of her fields. So we made reference to a field she may have inherited that her father would not have been able to benefit from. The husband is entitled to the fruits. What we have to focus on are the two words that we dashed underlined in this source. Kotoni bia, it said the father gave his daughter over for bia, and then later the kotoni nises, as things progressed, then she was nises. So we see from the progression that bia didn't accomplish nisuin. First she was niveles, and then later nises. Simply put, bia does not accomplish nisuin. The Gemara rejects this. Ki kotoni nises. The function of nises, or the appearance of nises in this source, asha'ora. It's going on the other means of establishing kiddushin, i.e., kesef or shtar, cash or the document method of marriage. But in the case of bia, so that would have already accomplished nisuin, the consummation of the marriage. Amar Rava Toshma. We're going to bring quote a source A lot of halachas in this source, but once again, the style of the question is based on what we just saw. You'll notice, look at our markings. Of course, if you're learning with us, Shas Ozer, the Gemara marking system, the main benefit that you get is by studying the markings that we have in addition to the explanation. So you notice we've dashed underline in this source, second to last line of the Gemara, you see the word Bebia. It's mentioned Miskadesh is Bebia. And then on the top of Omid Beis, the top line, last word on the top line, says V'im Nises, and if she went ahead and then entered Nisuin. And then when you look at the Gemara after the framed section, notice the Gemara says Katani Bia V'Katani Nises. The same style of proof. And then the Gemara rejects this with a, we'll say, a rereading of the source. But in the meantime, you can see the point. We're trying to show that Bia does not accomplish Nisuin. It's only Eris, and Nisuin is a second stage. A second stage that follows Bia. Okay, so what does it say? Toshma. This is a Rova. Rova Toshma. Bas Shalosh Shanim V'yom Echad Miskadeshet V'Bia. A female that's reached 3 years and 1 day of age, meaning a complete 3 years of life, she can be married through Bia. Prior to that, intimacy with a girl that's under 3 years of age is not viewed as a halachic act. It's physically, there was an attempt to have intimacy, but in legal terms, it's not reckoned with. There are explanations for that. We don't have to get into it now. V'im bo aleha yavam, if a girl reached 3 years of 3 complete years of age, and she had been married and her husband died, leaving no children, and a surviving brother of his marries her. That's called yibum. So kana his act of intimacy, the brother-in-law's act of intimacy with her, will result in the yibum marriage. V'chayovin aleha mishum eish es ish. And if she's married to a man, her father gave her over into marriage, and she's reached 3 years and a day, and some other man comes and has intimacy with her, that will result in his death penalty. That's called chayovin aleha mishum eish es ish. The act of intimacy, because she's reached 3 years, 3 complete years of age, an outsider's act of intimacy with her as a married woman will result in his violation of intimacy with a married woman. Umetama es boyala letam. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Letame mishkav tachton ke'elyon. Here's halacha. We'll mention it briefly. It's not too important to delve into it now, but just briefly stated, a woman who is a nida, she's experiencing the female menstrual flow, if she sits on a bed or a chair, so that chair or bed will be able to conduct tumah, to communicate tumah to a person or vessels that are placed or have contact with that bed. The man that had intimacy with her, if he sits on a chair after he had intimacy with the nida, he will affect the chair or bed like an elyon. An elyon would be, imagine a blanket that is worn or is on top of a nida or a zav. These are different kinds of people that are tome as a result of body bodily exusions. That elyon, that which means above, that upper thing becomes tome, but only to metame food and drink. So the bed that the boyel nida, and the relevance in this source is that she's reached 3 years of age and a day, and we're describing a man who's married to her. We're not talking about a forbidden bia in the sense of Iser Erva, but she's a nida, and that will metame him, the man, so that chairs and beds that he sits on, that's called the Mishkav, that's under him, is like an Elyon, is like the blanket that is above, on top of a real Zav. And the difference between a Mishkav that's between a Tachton and an Elyon is that a Tachton that's made into a Mishkav through a Zav or a Nida is Mitama people. In this case, the man himself was not a Zav. He was a Boyel Nida. He had relations with the wife that happened to be a Nida. So the chairs he sits upon are a stage lower in severity, and they're mitama only food and drink, but not people. V'im niseis l'kayen echeles b'truma, if the girl then consummated her marriage with a kohen, so she would then be entitled to eat truma. We're of course describing a girl that comes from a non-kohen house. The truma is the tithe that people tithe their produce and give the truma tithe to Kohanim. Only Kohanim are entitled to eat it. But not only Kohanim, but the wives of Kohanim. But at what point? So according to this source, at the point that she reaches Nisuin. V'im bo aleo echad mikol araya shebetero, if any forbidden relative has intimacy with her, with a girl that's 3 years and a day, mumsin al yodah, they'll be subject to death, to the death penalty. V'hi p'tura, she's a minor, so she's exempt. V'im bo aleo echad min apsulim, poslim min akuna, and if someone that is unfit has intimacy with her, so they will render her unfit to marry a Kohen. Kotoni Bia v'kotoni Niseis. The source, as we indicated before, describes Bia, and then it's describing Niseis as that which follows the Bia. So what does that show us? That Bia does not accomplish Nisuin. Nisuin is accomplished only as a later stage after the couple stand under a marriage canopy, for example. The Gemara rejects this. Hachi ka'omar. The source that we show that had mention of Bia on it, had mention of Nisuin, is to be understood as follows. E hani nisuin de koheninu, if the miskadeshes bebia that the Reisha mentioned, if it happened to be with a kohen, she would be a cheles betruma. If the intimacy described in the Reisha was with a kohen, that would have established nisuin, and as a result of that, she'd be entitled to eat truma. So you see that the source is not portraying Bia as a first stage followed by nisuin, but rather Bia referenced in the source is a form of nisuin. We continue with our original question: Bia, is it erisin osa or nisuin osa? We've tried a couple of attempts, and then we rejected the attempts, so we don't have anything, we'll say, solid or final. Therefore, Toshma. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, we glance at the side. We have a tat, they'll say a subtopic heading, and we're going to see a source. And in this source, Lumoid Dine Bas Yisrael Lekayin Legabi Achilas Truma. Midin shivcha kenainis shokayin sheicheles b'truma. We're going to try to figure out a non-Kohen woman that marries a Kohen, and her entitlement to eating truma is going to be determined by our prior knowledge of the case of a heathen bondmaid that's owned by a Kohen that is entitled to eat truma. So there's a certain given, and that is that a shifcha kenainis of a kohen eats truma, and from that given, we're going to try to learn information concerning the Bas Yisrael, the Jewish woman, the non-kohenes Jewish woman that's married to a kohen. Now the Gemara. Toshma. Note the long marking. Notice down to halfway of this, halfway down, this Omid will be involved with this attempt. The source opens with a story. Ukvar sholach Yochanan ben Bagbag Eitzel Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira Linitzivin. Netzivin is a place name. So Yochanan Bagbag sends a message to Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira. Shomati olecha she'ato oimer arusa bas Yisrael oicheles betruma. I heard that you claim that a girl who's from a Yisrael family who enters the first stage of marriage with a Kohen is already entitled to eat truma by merely becoming an arusa. You're saying that she's able to eat truma, and he says this with a tone of wonderment. Sholach loy, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira responds, V'atah i'atah omer kein, do you not agree that an arusa is able to start eating truma? Muchsakani b'cho shata boki b'chadrei Torah. I had the assumption that you were an expert in all areas of Torah learning, and you're coming with a question upon my assertion? Huh. Lidrosh b'kal v'chomer yata yodea? Do you not know how to make a kal v'chomer? The thinking is that this is a rather elementary form of Torah analysis, and you too would come to the same conclusion if you only knew how to make a kal v'chomer. And here it is. We're using a double underline to highlight the expressions Shivcha Kenainis and Zu. Zu is a reference, is a pronoun referring to a Bas Yisrael. And the Kal V'chomer reads as follows: Uma Shivcha Kenainis She'ein Bi'osa Machilosa Betruma Kaspa Machilosa Betruma. If a Kohen were to acquire a heathen bondmaid, and if he were to have intimacy with her, that would not entitle her to eating Truma. But the purchase money that he pays for her does entitle her to eat truma. Zu, the Bas Yisrael, should be also machilosa betruma. And we've dashed underlined this because we're going to want to come back and focus on the issue of intimacy, which is, of course, the focus of our discussion. The Bas Yisrael, where intimacy between her and the Kohen entitles her to eat truma, eno din shekaspo machilosa betruma. All the more so, the money given to marry her will enable her to eat truma. And the money given to marry her is, of course, erusin. What can I do? Sheharei amru chachomim ein arusa bas Yisrael ocheles betruma ad shetikones lechupa. But in practical terms, I can't enable her to eat the truma because the rabbis have ruled that a Rusa Bas Yisrael is not entitled to eat truma until she enters the marriage canopy, until the consummation of marriage. In other words, the money alone would not be enough. Don't make any mistake, in our sugya, our focus is on bia, on the act of intimacy. Heichi domi. And we have triangles. They are explained on the side as shlovim bebur hechidomi. These are stages in trying to clarify the question of hechidomi, meaning what are the circumstances that he is basing himself on to learn to derive kesef from bia. There's a certain given in this source, namely that intimacy certainly enables her to eat truma. That's a given, so all the more so, kesef, the money paid in erusin, should enable her to eat the truma. So what are the circumstances behind the, these variables, kesef and bia? E bebia sha'al yedei chupa, the kesef sha'al yedei chupa. If the bia and kesef referred to in the logic were both followed by chuppah, respectively, the marriage canopy, well, b'travayu mechalachlo, in both cases, she would be entitled to eat truma. The source wouldn't have had what we had dot underlined, avoma esa, oh, what can I do? Well, the rabbis restrict her from eating. That wouldn't be the case. If there was kesef followed by chuppah, she would be entitled to eat truma. V'yala b'biyah she'al yedei chuppah, v'kesef she'lo al yedei chuppah. Let's try this out. Maybe the source is describing biyah that was followed by chuppah, where we said that entitles her to eat truma, and then we said, well, all the more so, kesef. And what kind of kesef? Kesef that's not followed by chuppah. Yeah, but then there would be a problem in the logic. Ha'cha tarti v'ha'cha chada. Literally, here there are two stages, and here there's only one. The fact that she's able to consume truma with biyah followed by chuppah, well, there I would understand that she's able to eat truma because she's consummated the marriage. She's had intimacy plus the marriage canopy of two factors. How can you possibly derive kesef alone from biyah with chuppah? So that is not the case. Elolav bebiyah shelo al yedei chuppah v'kesef shelo al yedei chuppah. It must be that the biyah with the in the marriage terms and the kesef in the marriage terms were both alone, not followed by chuppah. And in the source, it was presented that there, as a given, that biyah is able to enable her to eat truma. So certainly kesef, which was effective in the case of the amavir, will enable the arusa to eat truma. Well, what can we conclude regarding the biyah given this new description, namely biyah alone and kesef alone? E amris bishlama nisuin oisa. If you say that biyah in which is used to establish the initial marital bond does the whole thing, meaning it establishes not just the erusin but it does the nisuin as well. Mishumhachi pshita lei de alima la bia mikesef. Therefore, the Tana was able to use as a given that the bia enables her to eat truma, and then to extrapolate from biyah to kesef. But let's repeat the main point here. The kesef is the unknown, and the biyah is the given, and we're simply using the information that we know about biyah and its ability to machu b'truma to conclude regarding kesef and its abilities. So if you say that biyah accomplishes nisuin, then I understand why the Tana was the use of the word here, alima, that we read. Alima means strong. That if the Tana felt confident about Bio's ability, and it was more apparent or clear that Bio would enable the woman to eat truma more so than kesef. But nevertheless, using the Kal v'chomer from Shifcha, he was able to conclude regarding kesef as well. But as far as the Tana is concerned, biyah was the more obvious. Eloi amris kiddushin oisa. If you say that all biyah accomplishes just the first stage of marriage, maishna hocha depshitalei. Why, as far as the Tana is concerned, is it more obvious that biyah is effective in enabling her to eat truma? And by kesef he was not sure and had to use the kal v'chomer in order to conclude regarding kesef. It wasn't obvious at the outset, whereas biyah it was obvious to him at the outset. So what do we see at the end of this whole, let's say, this long point? We see that it must be that biyah, as a means of kiddushin, effects not only erusin but also creates nisuin. And now the Gemara rejects this. You'll notice that we have a long marking. The Dalet means a defia, long rejection. And you'll notice that we also have a triangle appears. This triangle is part of the series of triangles reflecting on the question of Heichidomi. What were the circumstances behind the Bia and the Kesef? So, Omar Rav Nachmon Bar Yitzchak, the Oilam Eim Aloch, the Bia Sha'al Yedei Chupa, the Kesef Shelo Al Yedei Chupa. I'll go back to, we'll call stage two, the second triangle, and say that in fact is what we're talking about. The Bia was followed by Chupa, and Kesef is on its own. And being that that's the case, we're not able to conclude that Bia on its own accomplishes Nisuin. Because at this point then, it's Bia that's followed by Chupa, that creates the ability to eat Truma, or if you will, that's the consummation of the marriage. Not like we thought. And Udeko Amris, and if you say, well, if that's the case, you're creating a logical problem. That how can you conclude kesef as a singular means of marriage from bia combined with chupa? Bia combined with chupa, of course, that is a consummation of a marriage, and that entitles the bas Yisrael to eat the truma. How can you learn from that? How can you derive from that? That Kesef alone should entitle her to eat Truma. The Gemara says, Kal v'chomer miha isei v'hachi sholach lei. Even so, we are still able to construct a Kal v'chomer form of logic and come to the original conclusion that Kesef should entitle her to eat Truma, the Bas Yisrael. Well, let's see how that's going to work. And here we go. Uma shivcha kenainis shein biasa machilasa betruma afilu al yedei chupa. If a man is going to buy a heathen bondmaid, a kohen is going to buy a heathen bondmaid, and he pays money. And he has intimacy with her, and then brings her to a marriage canopy, to a chupa, to a canopy. That's not going to enable her to eat truma. And yet, kaspa machilasa below chupa. The payment for the shivcha kenainis alone, even without a chupa, does enable her to eat truma. Zu shebiyasa machilasa betruma al yedei chupa. In the case of marriage, intimacy followed by a canopy does enable her to eat truma, so eino din shekaspa machilasa betruma below chupa. Then all the more so, money alone, which we already saw to be effective in the case of the shivcha kenainis without chupa, will be effective in the case of marriage to enable the bas Yisrael marrying a kohen who gives her money without a marriage canopy to eat truma. Avo ma ese, but in practical terms, what can I do? Says Rabbi Yehuda ben Sera. Shari amru chachomim eina ruso bas Yisrael oicheles betruma achati kones lechupa. Mishum deula. Why are the rabbis restrictive anyway? Even though kavachomer logic leads me to conclude that on a Torah basis, the mere erusin should enable her to eat truma. The reason the Rabbonan give is what's called Mishum de Ula, because of Ula. Ula, of course, is a great sage. What he rules, what he concerns himself with, namely, that if we allow an Arusa, who's still living in her father's home, to receive Truma food parcels from her Orus, from her husband, she might share her food with her family who are not Kohanim, and that would be sinful. So we impose a rabbinic restriction that as long as she's an Arusa, she's still living in her father's house, she does not receive Truma. This was all Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra's assertion. I hope everyone remembers that Ben Bagbag doesn't accept this. Oh, Ben Bagbag. Why does he not share in this kal v'chomer? Why does he not agree? He explains, Gabi Shifa Kanainis, in the case of the money used to purchase her, Lo Shir Bekinyona, there was nothing left out of the acquisition. The money is all that's needed to acquire her. Hacha, in the case of Abbas Yisrael, when you're using money to acquire her, to establish the marriage, Shir Bekinyona, there's still another stage of acquisition that is necessary, namely the chuppah. Without the chuppah, he won't be able to inherit her. He won't be able to defile to her, as we saw earlier. Ravina Omar. Midoraisa mifshat pshita le de ochla. Notice the diamond we mentioned before is another opinion that we're not going to be able to conclude that Bia establishes Nisuin from the above source. Ravina, if we look in Rashi, just a couple lines up from here, Rashi says, Ravina Omar, Mehocha leko lemifshat de Nisuin. So from here we cannot conclude that Bia creates Nisuin. Da'afilu erusin oisa. Bia, even if we say it creates erusin, Ochla midoraisa. The kesetnami midoraisa Ochla. On a Torah level, whatever form of erusin you do, whether it's paying the wife money or intimacy with her, she would be entitled to eat truma. So we're not going to come to any conclusions regarding Bia in its ability to create Nisuin as well, because even at the first stage, she'd be entitled to eat truma. The Gemara. Ravi Omar midoraisa mifshat pshito le deochla. On a strictly Torah level, without introducing rabbinic restrictions, it's clear that an arusa eats truma, even according to Ben Bagbag. The machlokis that we saw above between Ben Bagbag and Rabbi Ben Becerra, umidurabonan hu desholach le v'hochi sholach le. The message that Rabbi Yochanan ben Bagbag sent to Rabbi ben Becerra was on a rabbinic level. And here it is. Shomati olecha, ben Bagbag writes, I heard concerning you, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, sha'ata oimer arusa bas Yisrael ocheles betruma v'lo chayshis l'simpon, that an arusa marrying a Yisrael, marrying a Kohen, that's an arusa bas Yisrael, she's coming from a family of Yisrael that do not eat truma, but she enters Erusin with a Kohen, is entitled to eat truma, and you're not concerned with simpon. Meaning, you're not concerned with the possibility of discovery of a blemish. A simpon is that which is mevatel, that undoes. Here we're talking about undoing a marriage. If you discover a blemish, something that you did not know of, did not anticipate, so then the marriage is off. And if you're going to entitle her to, at the point of erusin, eat truma, and then discover a blemish when they consummate the marriage, retroactively, there was no marriage, she should not have been eating truma. So why is it that you're so nonchalant, you're so unconcerned with the possibility of simpon, of discovering a blemish? Shalach le, so Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra sends back, v'yato yato merken, you don't agree with me that one need not concern himself with the problem of simpon. Musukani b'choshata boki b'chadrei Torah. I thought you were an expert in Torah. Lidrosh b'kal b'chomer yato yodea. And you don't know how to make, you don't know even how to make a kal b'chomer. Uma shifcha kenainis she'en bi'osa machi losa b'truma. Kaspo machi losa b'truma v'loi chayshinon l'simpon. The Kohen who buys a heathen bondmaid, where intimacy with her would not enable her to eat truma. The payment of money, purchasing of her on the part of the Kohen, entitles her to eat truma, and we don't worry about simpon. We don't worry about anything that would undo the deal. Zu shebiyasa machilasa betruma. In the case of a Bas Yisrael marrying a Kohen, where Bia entitles her to eat truma, Eino din shekasva machilasa betruma velo nechush lisimpon, then all the more so, the money that you give her for marriage should enable her to eat truma without any concern of simpon, without any concern of a blemish or discovery later on. Aval ma'ese, sherei omru chachomim, arusa bas Yisrael eino cheles betruma. We continue at the top of Daf Yud Aleph. Ad shetikones lechupa mishum de'ula. I acknowledge, though, that on a rabbinic level, the arusa bas Yisrael, since she's still living in her father's house, she's not entitled to eat truma because of Ula's worry that she might share her truma food parcels with her brothers or father that are not Kohanim. It's worth noting, and the Gemara will pick up on this later on, that Ben Bagbag is concerned on a rabbinic level, and he says because of Simpon, don't let the Arusa eat. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, in practical terms, also is saying that the Arusa is not to eat because she's still living by her father's house, because of Ula's concern. Both agree that the Arusa is not going to be eating truma. What's the difference between them? That is something the Gemara will ask later on. The Gemara continues with a point. In our presentation, we noted that Ben Bagbag is concerned with Simpon. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira was not. Then, as a result, Ben Bagbag did not make the Kal V'chomer. Ben Bagbag Simpon Bavodim Lesle. Ben Bagbag, who does not use the Kal V'chomer logic, says that Simpon, in the case of the purchase of servants, of heathen servants, is simply a non-existent consideration. In the case of a wife, a person pays money to the woman in exchange for agreeing to marry him, but he still doesn't know whether there are blemishes that would cause him to renege on the marriage from the very outset. Those kind of considerations in the case of a heathen bondmaid that's being purchased simply don't exist. And what could undo a sale which doesn't? So we go through a number of possibilities. This is all part of the long point that Ben Bagbag is making. If you're dealing with some kind of external blemish on her body, well, he saw it and bought her anyway, so he wouldn't be able to use the purchaser, the Kohen who bought her, wouldn't be able to use that as an excuse to undo the sale. If it's because of some type of bodily blemish that's under her clothing, that seser means is hidden. My nafka le mine. What difference does it make to the Kohen who purchased this heathen bondmaid what kind of bodily disformity she may have? Limalocha kaboy le lo ichbas le. Bought her for her work abilities, and the blemishes referred to here would not affect her working abilities. He sees that she walks, she talks, she bends, she picks things up. She has all her manual capabilities about her. What else might be a simpon? Nimtza ganav ukav yustus hikio. If you discover the heathen servant that you bought to be a thief or a kidnapper, well, that's the way they are. People that are that work in that capacity as slaves, they have a tendency to steal, to engage in kidnapping, and you higio means in like that the sale goes through. You can't use that as grounds for calling off the deal. You knew that beforehand. My Amris, what is there left to say? List him Izuyan, O Niftav Lamachus. You might discover that he's an armed bandit, or he's subject to the death penalty at the hands of the government, which the phrase Nichtav L'Malchus refers to. You can't nevertheless claim that you didn't know about these things, because Hano Kola Islu, they are public knowledge. People are well aware of someone being an armed thief or someone that was sentenced to death. Rashi on the first narrow line says, "Listim Mizuyan Daha Lo Shchiach." It's very uncommon. It's uncommon. Velo Kiblov and that kind of thing you might not have accepted. Not as opposed to the case of Ganav of Kaf Yustus. So to that we responded, you would have known about it anyway, being that Kola Islu, it's well known. So with that, we understand why Ben Bagbag did not see eye to eye with Rabbi Yehuda Ben Becerra, and he, Ben Bagbag, did not make the Kal Vachomer that Ben Becerra tried to make. Michti. And here the Gemara refers to the point that we mentioned in passing earlier, Bain Lamor, whether according to Ben Bagbag or according to Rabbi Yehuda Ben Becerra, Lo Ochla, in practical terms, the Arusa to the Kohen is not going to eat Truma. According to Ben Bagbag, he was concerned with Simpon with the discovery of some type of bodily blemish, covered bodily blemish that only after they consummate their marriage and they are together in intimate terms would he then notice. And if he does, he might call off the whole marriage. And that's the reason Ben Bagbag did not want the Arusa to eat Truma, because retroactively it might be discovered she was not entitled to. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra noted, he acknowledged the Ula consideration as reason for prohibiting the Arusa in consuming Truma. So, my Binayo, what difference is there between the Simpon explanation of Ben Bagbag and the Ula consideration that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra acknowledged? Answer, Ika Binayu. Now, the following three words are simply code words for something that requires more longer explanation. The code words are Kibel, Mosar, Vaholach. Let's go directly to Rashi to appreciate this. Kibel, Olav, we're looking at Rashi on the fifth narrow line. Kibel Olav Esamumin. The husband married this woman regardless. He noted ahead of time, regardless of whatever deformity might be discovered, I want to marry this woman. Well, if he is dismissing the absolving of the marriage based on blemishes, and he's dismissing that at the outset, then Mishum Simpon Lechon, and there's no more a concern of blemish discovery. Mishum De'ula Iko, but she's nevertheless still living in her father's house. So there still is the fear of her feeding Truma to those that are not entitled to it. That's the case of Kibel. Once again, a husband that accepts upon himself any blemish that might later that he might later discover. If that's the only consideration as to reason not to feed the Arusa, so that is no longer a consideration and she could eat. But the Ula consideration of Shemo Yachil Vitashkila Avil Achel, that still is a problem. Next, Rashi, Mosar, Ho'av, L'shluchei Abal. The girl who was Nisarsa, who was married, was then given by her father to agents of the husband to travel to the husband's house. So she's no longer in her father's house. The father gave her over. Or the father provided agents to travel with her, together with the husband's agents taking her to his house, and they're en route. So all this time that she's en route, Mishum Simponiko, there still is the problem that the husband who will discover some type of bodily blemish. And on those grounds she should not eat while she should not eat truma while en route. Mishum shema tashke leka delesnu lachel achisa gaba. But as far as the fear of her giving her siblings truma to eat, well, she's no longer amongst them. She's en route to her husband's house. And if Ula is the reason not for an arusa not eating, in this case she'd be entitled to eat. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.